This is Jay Sekulow. Deep state intelligence community officials panicking under intensifying spotlight.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We'll be taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. I've got a intentional statement that I set forth yesterday on Sean Hannity's broadcast. I'm going to play that a little bit later in our broadcast. We're going to take calls from you about all of this at 800-684-3110. But let me tell you why I said the deep state intelligence community is panicking under an intensifying spotlight. Let me tell you, there is this theory out there that all of these conversations we're seeing now, that there's conversations with Australia and others, other countries, about getting involved and getting cooperation as to the underscoring or the beginnings or the origins of the Mueller probe, how all that started. And people are acting like this is some great surprise and came out of nowhere and these calls are inappropriate. I'm going to play for you right now a video of exactly what the president said on this topic months ago. Very, very important. Take a listen.
The attorney general is one of the most respected people in this country, and he has been for a long period of time. He's going to look at a lot of documents. Some he might find interesting, maybe he'll find none interesting. But for over a year, people have asked me to declassify. So what I've done is I've declassified everything. He can look, and I hope he looks at the UK, and I hope he looks at Australia, and I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything, because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country. It's the greatest hoax. Excuse me. It's the greatest hoax probably in the history of our country, and somebody has to get to the bottom of it. We'll see. But for a long period of time, they've wanted me to declassify, and I did.
All right, so let me give you a couple of really key points here. This is the President of the United States. This is months ago. Give me the exact date. Well, I think that's important. And listen to this. The Attorney General is one of the most respected people in this country. True. And he's been that for a long period of time. True. So what I've done is I've declassified everything so he can look. And of course, he could look if it was classified. Take it a step further. And this is important. And I hope he looks at the UK. I hope he looks at Australia. I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything, because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country. So why is it shocking to the media? And I'll answer the question in a moment. Why is it shocking to the media that this inquiry from the Durham, U.S. Attorney Durham, is now reaching into these countries? So there's a spotlight being shown and really highlighted on deep state actors within the intelligence community. And that's why you're getting these leaks, which are dangerous. And these people are saying they're patriots. Getting conversations out about the president of the United States. Was it patriotic when they did this, when he was talking to the president of Mexico? Is that patriotic? Or is it they have a different view of international affairs, so they want their view to go forward? And as I said on Hannity, go all the way back to that executive order changing the way in which, and this is important, intel information was shared. For 8 years, it was fine under the Obama administration to have it to three agencies. With about 10 days to go, they move it to 18. Put the links together here. It's not that complicated. We'll take your calls and comments when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We're going to get into this at great length. 800-684-3110. Also, let me encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. You do that. You know that at aclj.org. You should be following us on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, a whole host of ways on social media platforms. We encourage you to do that. If you don't get our newsletters, you do that at aclj.org. Big trial starting against Planned Parenthood in just literally a couple of days. We'll give you updates on that as well. And don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available in bookstores everywhere. When we come back from the break, your calls, your comments, 800-684-3110. Back with more. A lot of moving parts here in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So DOJ says that the president contacted foreign countries to assist Attorney General Barr's Russia inquiry, and people are acting like it's a surprise that there's an inquiry going on, an investigation of the investigators. Breaking news alert. There's an investigation of the investigators. And I think what's happened here, Than, is Than Bennett, our Director of Governmental Affairs in Washington, I think what's happened here is that they know this is coming. They're concerned about the way it's coming, because it's focusing on some of these deep state actors, and that's why they're reacting like this.
I would say two things, Jay. First of all, we hear from people all the time on this broadcast. It's probably our most regular call, demanding accountability. They want to know what happened. They want to get to the bottom of this spying on an elected president. And the president has said for a long time now he's going to do that. That's number one. Number two, Jay, when it comes to the intelligence community, here's the bottom line. I think they're used to operating in the dark. I really do. They're not used to accountability. And look, I'm not saying this about all of them, but it's pretty clear in this situation that the leadership inside the intelligence community behaved very poorly. And Jay, they thought it was never going to come out. And I will tell you this, one of the things they counted on is that the direct evidence wasn't going to be released. This evidence that the president gave us in the transcript, they thought they could craft a narrative using the likes of Chairman Schiff to make up their own narrative irrespective of right. The facts. Jay, it's how they largely operate. They thought they were going to get away with it in this situation.
I'm taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Robert. He's calling in Maryland. Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. How are you doing, Jay? Great. Ask you, what is it has the deep intelligence community in such a panic? Is it new information that's coming out that has them very scared, that possibly implicates them in the Russiagate scandal?
I think that's exactly, look, we're going to find out when we find out when they release the investigation. But I think there's an intensifying spotlight on these agencies. And I think I suspect that what's happening is they know that the information's coming out. Let me read you a release from the Department of Justice. This is from the Department of Justice. As the Department of Justice has previously announced, a team led by U.S. Attorney John Durham is investigating the origins of the U.S. counterintelligence probe of the Trump 2016 presidential campaign. Mr. Durham is gathering information from numerous sources, including a number of foreign countries. At Attorney General Barr's request, the president has contacted other countries to ask them to introduce the Attorney General and Mr. Durham to appropriate officials. By the way, Robert, completely appropriate. By the way, publicly known back when the president spoke, this is again, should we do this again? Here it is. Take a listen. I think it's important.
The Attorney General is one of the most respected people in this country, and he has been for a long period of time. He's going to look at a lot of documents. Some he might find interesting, maybe he'll find none interesting. But for over a year, people have asked me to declassify. So what I've done is I've declassified everything. He can look. And I hope he looks at the UK, and I hope he looks at Australia, and I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything. Because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country. It's the greatest hoax. Excuse me. It's the greatest hoax probably in the history of our country, and somebody has to get to the bottom of it. We'll see. But for a long period of time, they've wanted me to declassify, and I did.
All right, so there you have it. And I'm playing that bite because I like to play evidence, and there's the evidence. So Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy here, professor of law, also law and economics, but I want to talk about law. And the fact of the matter is, the president has, he named specific countries in his statement by the Marine One. Attorney General Barr is having Durham, the U.S. attorney that's in charge of the investigation, look at that. And there's even treaties that actually involve this kind of investigation.
You're absolutely correct. So Bill Clinton, in the late 1990s, negotiated a treaty with the Ukraine. Basically, it's the Ukraine and U.S. Treaty on Mutual Legal Assistance in Criminal Matters. It was ratified by the United States Senate in October of 2000. The purpose of the treaty was to counter criminal activity more effectively. The treaty was designed to assist the prosecution of a wide variety of crimes. And so what the president was calling for in May and what John Durham is doing now is absolutely consistent with U.S. Ukrainian treaty obligations. So it's consistent with the rule of law. This has been ratified by the United States Senate under a Democrat president.
This is really important, what Professor Hutchinson has just laid out. Now, you're not going to get a lot of this analysis elsewhere. So while they're trying to make hay out of the fact that the president had a call with Australia and their head of state, encouraging cooperation with Bill Barr and Bill Barr's team, Durham's team, mentions Ukraine in the statement that we just played for you, as if this, so this is no shock. Now what Professor Hutchinson has laid out, and I want you to understand this, is we actually have a treaty. We may have one with Australia, too. I mean, I have no idea. We'll find out. But it would be normal within international obligations to do this. So not only is what the president did appropriate, legal, and required, in my view, it was absolutely 100% protected by law. So when you've got the, you know, CNN news alerts that this is some kind of, you know, conversation that's inappropriate because we're asking for cooperation with our law enforcement officials, let me give you a breaking news alert. Breaking news alert. There is right now an investigation going on of the investigators. Is that breaking? No, of course not. John Durham's been working for months. This isn't breaking news. This is reality. This is political nonsense. This is political theater. What the attorney general's doing is legal work. And Harry, to be very, very clear here, he has the president, the attorney general, the U.S. attorney have absolute authority to do what they're doing, even without the Ukraine treaty. But that especially reinforces it.
Absolutely. And so the treaty itself calls for a broad range of cooperation in criminal matters, including the taking of testimony or statements of persons, providing documents, records, and articles of evidence, serving documents, locating and identifying persons, executing searches and seizures, and any other form of assistance not prohibited by law. So it is clear and unmistakable based on the specific language in the treaty that the call between the President of the United States and the President of Ukraine are consistent with our mutual obligations.
This is really significant. Australia, this is very important. Signed in 1997, ratified in 1998. A treaty between the government of the United States of America and the government of Australia on mutual assistance in criminal matters signed at Washington on April 30th, 1997. Like I said, you're not getting this analysis elsewhere. You're getting it here. I am going to tell you this also. This is really important for everyone to understand the impact of what this is. I'm telling you, as these allegations come forward, we're going to be prepared to meet every one of them. Let me tell you something. Whether it's the constitutional issues being raised, treaty obligations that are out there, you understand what's going on here. The light is being shown and being spotlighted on the deep state intelligence operatives that are doing this reporting and leaking. It's not really reporting. It's certainly leaking. Yet there are treaty obligations that we have in place as well as customary international law. So I'm going to tell you something right now. They want to have the fight on this term? Let's have it. And Than, the reality is, if we have a fight on this term, on this turf, we carry the day. I have no doubt about it.
Well, look, the constitutional framework that you just laid out, Jay, mandates that these two governments cooperate on issues like these. I mean, you talked about ratification in 1998 of the Australian deal, 2000 ratification of the Ukraine deal. Jay, that is the legislative branch directing the executive branch to engage in this kind of cooperation. And let me just tell you this. I think this is very important for people to understand. The reason that the intelligence community is nervous, Jay, it's because this more and more looks to me, and I'm very close to calling this factual at this point, that this was a coordinated attack rollout. And here's my question. I want to know how widespread the knowledge of it was inside the intelligence community. I think that's what's making them nervous. I think it infiltrates deep into the intelligence community. And frankly, if they could have a do-over, I think they would probably not do it because they're being called out on it. The sunlight is being shown on it. And Jay, when it's all said and done, I've got to tell you, I've got a very bad feeling that the numbers who are involved and the depth to which it infiltrated, I think we've only begun to scratch the iceberg here.
I'm going to tell you something. This treaty obligation, this is really significant, very, very significant for our country. Really important that we get this out. Harry, I want you to, we only got a minute here before the break. Folks on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends. We're giving you an analysis you're not going to get anyplace else. I want to make sure everybody understands what this is. We're going to play that president fight again. I'm going to lay this out. But the reality is, in 20 seconds, there is legal authority the president had to do exactly what he did.
You are precisely correct, and it's constitutional legal authority because it's a treaty between the United States and the Ukraine that has been ratified by the United States Senate, and it is consistent with what the ACLJ has been doing for decades. We have been calling for an investigation of the investigators, whether it's the FBI, the State Department, or the IRS. We are pursuing accountability.
I'll tell you what, this is, whether I'm wearing my ACLJ hat or my hat as president's counsel, I am telling you, the constitutional issue here is our grave, serious. We'll win this. Back with more in just a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Tell you what, I'm going to go on Sean Hannity's broadcast on radio and television today to address this. Professor Hutchison is drafting a piece that we're going to post at aclj.org, and we're going to put it up on all of our resources. I would encourage our internet team, our social media teams, make sure that Professor Hutchison's piece, I'm going to co-author that with you, Harry. We're going to put that up on all of our various platforms. I think this is really important. You need to understand the legal obligations here and the legal issues. They are making things up to sound nefarious, when in fact they're constitutionally correct and legally appropriate. And that is what this is all about. And understand what we're dealing with. We're taking your calls and comments at 800-684-3110. Let me go to Kathy. She's calling from Colorado. Kathy, you're on the air.
Thanks for having me on. I am just so sick of being upset with the Republican Party. Where are they backing our president? Look at all that's been uncovered. And we hear from Jim Jordan, Steve Scalise, Kevin McCarthy. You know the ones who are active in this. So much has been uncovered, and not one Democrat has paid a day of consequence.
Well, let me tell you what the story is here, okay? And you need to understand this. And look, elections have consequences. So if you control the House, this is what happens. But then we have to be prepared to respond legally. Now, let's talk about the politics of this for a moment. Than, I want to go to you. On the politics of the moment, there seems to be not only a rush to judgment and a violation of due process, but they're trying to get this thing moving quickly, yet at the same time, I still see resistance among some of their members. Tell me where you see it playing out right now.
Well, there's resistance, Jay, because if there wasn't resistance, the House would have already taken a vote. Again, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record here, but each of the three times this has happened in the House of Representatives when an effort to impeach a president has happened, the Speaker has first gone to the full House to authorize that inquiry. And, Jay, there's a very important reason for this. Look, elections matter. Elections are how the people have power over who their president is. And if there's going to be an effort to remove an elected president, other elected officials have to be willing to put their name on the lines. That's why they have always gone to the House of Representatives to authorize an inquiry. Jay, they did not have the votes when Nancy Pelosi announced this inquiry before even reading the transcript that it was based on. So she still has not crossed that hurdle. Jay, in all of the other impeachment cases, one of two things has happened. After the House authorized the inquiry, either there was a second vote of the entire House to invoke the articles of impeachment, or in the case of Richard Nixon, he resigned before that. But Jay, I'm just going to simply answer your question this way. This is all about politics at this point. But even though it's all about politics, Jay, even the Democrats in the House know that there really isn't anything here, and there's a big reason for it. This piece of evidence that I'm holding, the transcript, it was never supposed to be released. They thought they could engage this based on a fictional narrative that Chairman Schiff would make up. Too bad the evidence is out and they can no longer do that.
No, there's no question about that. But I got to tell you something. Professor Hutchison here on our team has uncovered what I think is unbelievably, incredibly important. Like I said, no one's reporting this. And that is the treaty obligations that exist between and the treaty capabilities that exist. I mean, it's covered under international law anyways. But to have treaty obligations, we've got one with Australia, we got one with Ukraine. I'm sure there's others as we go forward with this. No one wants to, they want to talk about these phone calls. You can't believe the president's asked for assistance on an investigation going into the origins of the Russia Mueller nonsense. He's the absolute right to do it. And there's a treaty that says do it.
Absolutely. And so what we have here are deep state actors who seek to criminalize the United States Constitution. That's effectively what they're pursuing here, because the United States and the Ukraine have mutual assistance treaty obligations. And it's important to note that this treaty was transmitted to the United States Senate by Bill Clinton during his term as president. It was ratified by the United States Senate, and it is still in effect. And let me point out that this particular treaty provides for all forms of assistance available, any other form of assistance not prohibited by law. That is extremely broad. It certainly covers the inquiry made by President Trump, and it certainly covers the cooperation sought by Attorney General Barr with Ukrainian and other officials, whether it's the it's Australia, whether it's the Ukraine, or whether it is the United Kingdom.
I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'm looking at these documents, and they want to call an impeachment on this. It's going to be game, set, match. First of all, look, you know what happens in the end, right? If they were to take this to a vote on the House and vote articles of impeachment out, it goes to the Senate, verdict clear. Because everybody knows in the Senate, at least the majority knows, that this is nonsense. No due process, no violations of law, nothing illegal violation, no rules, regulations violated here, and it's political shenanigans. But let me tell you this. They want to play political shenanigans. Let me and my colleagues answer questions to them. Ask them questions under oath. I'd like to put the members. Sometimes they testify. Are they going to testify if there was an impeachment proceedings? Do we get to ask them questions? I got a whole series I'd like to ask. I suspect it doesn't happen that way. But I'm going to tell you this right now so everybody understands what we have. We've got headlines being blasted out there that have no foundation in law or fact. Let's go next to the phones. Diane's calling from Wisconsin. Diane, you're on the air.
Yes, here's my question. First, thank you very much. That's the words don't say what I feel about you guys doing your hard work. But here's the question. When I was an employer at medical and school, when I didn't follow protocol, I was either warned and then eventually fired. Now, I realize the vote idea. However, is there no committee, and I don't know this, in the Senate or House that will say, you are to do the people's work. They are spending the people's money. That's their salary. I'm the employer. They're the employee. Is there no committee that watches over this kind of extraordinary and rather illegal?
Well, let me tell you this. No, they're playing by a different rule book. And Dan Bennett's got another one here that I think is worth noting, because they're changing the rules. And this is you're in a football game and you're in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go. You're getting ready to run a touchdown play, and you know what? We decided there's a new rule. The offense becomes the defense. Go ahead, Fan.
Jay, previous impeachments, the minority in the House, to the caller's point, they had subpoena power. So you say you want to question the witnesses that'll be called to testify in this? That would have been allowed in previous impeachment proceedings. But this time, not only did Speaker Pelosi not call for a vote of the House, she has not granted subpoena power to the minority. So the majority will have the entire power. That was a point vociferously argued by John Conyers the last time around. One more thing, Jay. Jerry Nadler, you've heard of him, the current chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Bill McGurn in the Wall Street Journal brought out a great point. When this happened against Bill Clinton, Jay, he was one of the strongest voices railing against Republicans for not allowing more debate before what? Before the full House authorized an impeachment inquiry. My question to you, Jay, where is the current chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, John Conyers, calling on not only for more debate on the House floor before a vote, where is he on actually calling his colleagues to actually put their name on the line and have that vote that he was so strongly in favor of a long time ago? Jay, the answer is very simple, and you just said it. New set of rules this time around.
Yeah, doesn't work that way. All right, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you need to go over to ACLJ.org, Periscope, or you can, of course, get us on Facebook. But there's multiple ways to get it. SiriusXM, a number of stations. Stay tuned. You think this is just the beginning of the discussion? We've got a lot more to discuss here. I want you to be available. I want you to understand. I want you to share the feed with your friends right now on all the social media forms you're on. If you're listening on radio, call your friends. Tell them to listen in. This is really important. The Constitutional Republic's at stake here. I want you to understand the rules, the laws, the obligations that exist. We'll be back with more, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. But let me encourage you, share this information with your friends right now.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Headlines were blaring last night that the president had a call, New York Times, called to the Prime Minister of Australia asking that he have his government assist in assisting the Attorney General William Barr and John Durham regarding the investigation that's ongoing as to the counterintelligence investigation that started against a presidential campaign, as Bill Barr said, which was a really big deal. I'm going to get that bite from Bill Barr. I want that available when he testified that he thought that was a big deal. Of course it is. And I'm going to play for you again because I think it's important for you to hear it, what the president actually said. So I'm going to play for you what the president said on Marine One. Will, what was the date of this statement he made in front of Marine One?
This was May 24th, 2019.
May 24th. They're acting like this is breaking news that all these conversations are now coming to light. Take a listen.
The Attorney General is one of the most respected people in this country, and he has been for a long period of time. He's going to look at a lot of documents. Some he might find interesting, maybe he'll find none interesting. But for over a year, people have asked me to declassify. So what I've done is I've declassified everything. He can look. And I hope he looks at the UK, and I hope he looks at Australia, and I hope he looks at Ukraine. I hope he looks at everything. Because there was a hoax that was perpetrated on our country. It's the greatest hoax. Excuse me. It's the greatest hoax probably in the history of our country. And somebody has to get to the bottom of it. We'll see. But for a long period of time, they've wanted me to declassify, and I did.
All right, so I'm going to go right to Professor Harry Hutchinson because this is important for everybody to understand here. We have international treaty arrangements, treaty obligations with these various countries. I'm holding them in my hand. Here they are. Let me read them to you. This is a treaty between the United States of America and Ukraine on mutual legal assistance in criminal matters. It's signed at Kiev on July 22, 1998, with an exchange of notes signed on September 30, 1999, which provides for its provisional application. On November 10, 1999, the treaty was read the first time and together with the accompanying papers referred to the Committee on Foreign Relations and ordered to be printed for use of the United States Senate. I mean, that's what it says. Then there's another one. Treaty between the government of the United States of America and the government of Australia on mutual assistance in criminal matters, signed at Washington, April 30th, 1997. Professor Hutchinson, what does this mean?
Well, it means that President Trump has broad authority to seek the assistance and the cooperation of foreign governments when it comes to criminal matters. The purpose of these treaties is to counter criminal activity more effectively. The treaties were designed to assist the prosecution of a wide variety of crimes. The treaties were designed to be self-executing and provide for a broad range of cooperation in criminal matters, including the taking of testimony, statements of persons, providing documents, records, and articles of evidence, serving documents, locating and identifying persons, executing searches and seizures, and any other form of assistance not prohibited by law. And I'm reading from the text or the transmittal documents of the treaty with Ukraine. So I think it is clear beyond question that all of the storm and fury that is going on throughout the blogosphere about the president's activity, the whistleblower complaint, it is breathless nonsense because everything that he did was consistent with the United States Constitution and with the ratification of this treaty in the year 2000.
I'm telling you what, folks. This tells you what is really going on here. This is the issue. The authority of the President of the United States as Commander-in-Chief under Article 2, his Attorney General, his U.S. attorneys, perfectly appropriate. Will it make any difference to this body politics in the House of Representatives? I'm going to ask Stan Bennett that question when we come back from the break. We're going to take your calls as well. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We've got a lot more to discuss here, folks. Too bad the program is only an hour today. We could go for a lot longer than that. But I'm going to go on with radio with Sean Hannity, and I'll be on his TV broadcast tonight. We're going to keep responding to this as they develop. That's how you do it. We're going to continue that back with more, including your calls, 800-684-3110, in just a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Than Bennett, where are we politically right now?
Well, I think the Democrats in the House, Jay, have crossed a Rubicon. I really do. I'll give you two data points to back that up. First of all, this announcement of an inquiry was announced by Speaker Pelosi while she at the same time admitted she had not seen the transcript that was released. So she was announcing the inquiry without looking at the evidence. Suggests to me that she prejudged it, Jay. The second piece of evidence is the fact that Chairman Schiff, after the transcript was released, did not use it in his case. He wrote a piece of fiction and used that as the evidence. So, Jay, just politically speaking, I mean, you've laid out the merits of this case, but politically speaking, I don't think the merits matter to House Democrats, and I think they will charge ahead. And Jay, maybe just one final piece of evidence I throw out to back up my point here. I think if they were actually concerned about getting to the truth and evaluating the merits and seeing if they held water, I think the minority in the House would have subpoena power to try to bring these witnesses forward, as has happened in every other case. But Jay, I think they know the facts won't warrant the case that they have already wed themselves to.
All right, so let me tell you this. So, you know, I've known Bill Barr for a long time. He's a man of incredible integrity. So now you got members of the Democratic Party trying to attack Bill Barr's credibility. Let me play for you what he said at a Senate Appropriations Committee hearing back in April.
One of the things I want to do is pull together all the information from the various investigations that have gone on, including on the Hill and in the department, and see if there are any remaining questions to be addressed.
And can you share with us why you feel a need to do that?
Well, for the same reason we're worried about foreign influence in elections. We want to make sure that during an election, I think spying on a political campaign is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Okay, that was not all he said. Then there was a follow-up. Take a listen to this.
You're not suggesting, though, that spying occurred.
I don't. I guess you could. I think there's a spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Well, let me.
But the question is whether it was predicated, adequately predicated. And I'm not suggesting it wasn't adequately predicated, but I'd need to explore that. I think it's my obligation.
I think it's my obligation. And I'm holding for you two treaties right now that Professor Hutchinson has analyzed and brought to our attention. By the way, a great find on Professor Hutchinson's part, and I'm part of the ACLJ here, that this information's out. Let's again, I want to reset for, this is really important for you to understand, and I want people to understand, Harry, and what these treaty obligations allow, why they were put in place, what the purpose of them actually is, what they are designed to do.
essentially these treaty obligations with both the Ukraine and Australia call for mutual cooperation between the United States and their foreign counterparts for purpose of providing effective legal assistance. So these treaties essentially are self-executing and provide for a broad range of cooperation in criminal matters, including the taking of testimony or statements of persons, providing documents, records, and articles of evidence, serving documents, locating and identifying persons, executing searches and seizures, and any other form of assistance not prohibited by law. So if you look at the transcript of the phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky of the Ukraine, it is absolutely within the four corners of the treaty document within, and it's all absolutely within the four corners of the United States Constitution. So the president is exercising his constitutional power. So essentially what we have now are deep state actors. What are they pursuing? They seek to criminalize the execution of the United States Constitution. So effectively, they're criminalizing the compliance with the Constitution. So they would prefer that presidents fail to comply, apparently, with the United States Constitution. Why? Because they're in a panic mode, because the president has launched an intensive investigation of the investigators who launched the Russia inquiry in the first place. Remember, there was no collusion, there was no obstruction, but yet these individuals, deep state actors, attempted to A, deploy an insurance policy, and B, to hamper this particular president. So the president is clearly within his power to launch a counter investigation.
Criminalizing the execution of the United States Constitution. And I'll tell you, we're going to just flat run out of time today. We're going to get into that in great detail tomorrow. Criminalizing the execution of the U.S. Constitution, which should be an email going out from the ACLJ tomorrow on this, because I think this is a constitutional moment for the American people. This is a really big deal. And then it's got real serious consequences. Let me go to a member, one of our phone calls right now, and then I'm going to send this one to you. Bill in Oklahoma, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, this question is for you and maybe Zan also.
Okay.
Isn't it ironic, first of all, that Bill Clinton was the president that actually negotiated the Ukrainian treaty, kind of full circle? And more important, and I haven't heard it, and I'm wondering if anybody has asked the members of Congress.
So, Than, this is an interesting, Bill brings up a really good point because, and maybe some of these members of Congress, I'm sure some of these members were there. We know that for a fact. I mean, Nancy Pelosi was there. It's interesting, Than, because if you look at this, now you've got, they try to make this, front page news story about a call with Australia's prime minister and about the investigation. And what does that mean? And I will tell you, in my view, to be just blunt, not only is that constitutionally required, as Harry said, it's an obligation. It's an obligation to do it. But they are criminalizing the execution of the U.S. Constitution, or trying to.
Well, and further, Jay, I mean, Congress used to agree with that. I mean, it's not just rhetoric. They proactively ratified both these treaties in 1998 and 2000, and Bill is exactly right. I appreciate his call. There were certainly members of Congress that were here. And, Jay, both of these votes, interestingly, there was not a single dissenting vote. There were voice votes when they were ratified in the Senate. So if any of them were in the United States Senate when that happened, I'll have to do that research. None of them opposed it. And, Jay, I do think it's very important that we also reiterate this. Certainly, you laid out the case both legally and announcement-wise that the president and the attorney general announced they were doing this. But, Jay, why was it important for them to do this? Let's remember, the American bureaucracy, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, they cooperated with foreign contacts to manufacture dirt on a president elected by the people of the United States. Jay, those are the facts. Is there anybody out there that thinks that shouldn't be investigated?
Right.
If there is, I'd certainly like to hear them.
All right, let's go right back to the phones, 800-684-3030. 110, let's take Gretchen calling from California. Gretchen, you're on the air.
Hi, Jay and everyone. Hey, I had a question, but honestly, as I've been listening, it almost feels like you guys have been answering the question, but
I haven't heard anyone directly say. I haven't heard it. The every point you guys are making is spot on. You know, I feel like Trump's very well defended. You guys know the laws. I understand with Barr, you know, how Barr's investigating the whole thing. That includes Trump. He never said Barr's not investigating Trump. You know, he is unbiased and he's investigating. But my question is, with the Mayor Giuliani, Mayor DeGeneva, you know, Joe DeGeneva, excuse me, and Victoria, what about them? Can any trouble happen to him? Although I'm hearing your guys saying,
Gretchen, let me see if I got your question right. Let me see if I can put in a framework for you. Make sure I'm answering the question that you're referencing. Is there any legal impediment to having the president's private counsel, Rudy Giuliani, who is a counsel of the president, investigate these matters? And the answer is, there's not a problem with that. And here's the reason why. Number one, Rudy Giuliani has an affirmative ethical obligation to defend his client. In defending his client, he needs to find out. We were in the middle of a probe that included Russia and all parts in between. So it was perfectly appropriate for Mayor Giuliani, who is as counsel to the president in his private capacity, same role I play as private counsel to the president. It was perfectly appropriate for Rudy, as we're defending our client, for Rudy Giuliani to make these kind of inquiries. That's defense of your client, to get all the facts, all the circumstances, find out who started this whole thing. Was it Russia? Was it Ukraine? Where was it? Australia? Where was all this coming from? So the international aspect of what we did not get a lot of attention. And although I was not involved in what Mayor Giuliani was doing with the Ukraine, it makes perfect sense that as a lawyer for the president, he is trying to uncover all the relevant information necessary to defend his client. So completely appropriate in my view. All right, we're getting ready to take a break. We got one phone line open. 800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We will take your calls and comments when we come back from the break. Don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available in bookstores everywhere, but also support the work of the ACLJ. I'm going to quote Harry Hutchinson again. Criminalizing the execution of the U.S. Constitution. Pretty powerful statement. Very, very important. I want you to be thinking about that as we go into the break. Share the feeds with your friends if you're watching on social media platforms. We'll be back with more, including your calls and comments. But let me tell you something, folks. And Harry, just really quickly here. That's a big statement. Criminalizing execution of the U.S. Constitution. We only got 20 seconds. But it really puts the Republic at risk.
Absolutely. And in my view, these deep state actors are prepared to put the U.S. Constitution at risk, and they're prepared to put the United States government at risk, and even the Union.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Ask Than a question. I want to go back to it because we didn't get to share it on the on air. But Than, I want to talk about process of where they are. You've said, you know, a couple times they crossed this Rubicon. But what actually happens here? What, let's kind of recast what we just said to the Facebook audience around the radio. Yep.
The House skipped that first vote authorizing the inquiry, but ultimately, Jay, they would have to vote to invoke articles of impeachment. If they do that, and I think there's a strong possibility they will, it looks to me like they're determined to do it no matter where the facts lead. Jay, those articles would be sent over to the United States Senate, and actually House managers, so representatives of the House of Representatives, would actually take them over to the Senate and would participate in the trial in the United States Senate, which would be overseen by the Chief Justice of the United States. I know you're going to take issue with a trial being held. I will let you do that, Jay, but I want to say this to two people. There are two vote margins that would be important in the Senate. It's the two-thirds vote margin that would be required to convict or remove a president, but Jay, that simple majority of 51 is still very important because that determines who the majority leader is, and the majority leader will determine what dispositive action will be taken. In other words, will they refer it to a committee and be done with it? Will they do a motion to dismiss? That is a decision that would still rest with the majority leader, and quite frankly, I think United States senators on both sides of the aisle, Jay, they need to start taking it seriously now because the House is not.
Okay, let me tell you this. So I think what's happening in the House of Representatives is an absolute charade right now. Okay, this is a charade. Let's be realistic. That's my view of it. I think that I'm still not convinced. Could it happen? Anything could happen. I don't see them. I don't see them doing this impeachment vote. Right. I think the political ramifications for them are really serious and sobering. They have no evidence. Are they gonna do an articles of impeachment on a 30-minute transcript to a phone call with Ukraine when I'm holding in my hand the treaty that says on criminal matters you can have these kind of sharing of information, let alone the president of the United States, of course. So if they want to do that, I keep saying go have a vote. Now at the United States Senate, here's what I would tell my friends in the United States Senate. Don't let the House violate due process. Right now, lawyers cannot ask questions orally of witnesses. We can submit written questions. What kind of nonsense is this? I wouldn't dignify it with a hearing. Now, they may feel that they have an obligation to do that, but there's believe me, that will be an interesting proceeding if it ever were to happen. I don't see it. If it does, we'll be prepared. But look, the reality is this is political theater. This is nonsense. We're telling you exactly what's at stake here and what's exactly at play. I got to get some calls in. Linda's calling from West Virginia on line two. Linda, you're on the air.
Hello, Jay. Yep. Thank you for taking my call. I have heard several times on your show today that they are criminalizing the Constitution.
No, they're criminalizing execution of the U.S. Constitution, to be precise. Yes.
Okay. And that our republic and the Constitution could be at risk.
Right.
I believe that the Democrats are breaching their constitutional responsibilities by not serving the American people. I also believe that they are violating our president's constitutional responsibilities and duties because he is not able to perform with all of this nonsense going on. So my question to you is, can you go to the Supreme Court with a case to stop this nonsense?
Look, I mean, I've looked at the various issues that exist regarding litigation or not litigation, how that works. We're looking at all everything. You look at all options in a case like this, you take nothing for granted. We've got a team with a lot of Supreme Court experience. Of course, I've been involved in, I've been counsel record of over 20 cases. I've made 12 oral arguments, but have been counsel of record in 20 cases at the Supreme Court, probably more than that. My colleague, Will Consovoy, some of the others have got a vast amount of experience on this. Jordan's got experience. So we got a lot of people with experience that have experience in the constitutional matters. We got Professor Hutchison, who's an expert in constitutional law. But I don't think we're at near that stage of having to do that. So I don't think that's in the playbook right now. But it's something we are obviously looking at very seriously. Charlie is calling on line six. Charlie, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Jay, just a quick question. Yep. Is there any way to subpoena Adam Schiff's phone messages, text messages for the last 90 days to see if he's behind this whistleblower?
Well, look, I mean, I'm not going to get into that. I mean, I think that would be not something we would do as private counsel. I there may be some circumstance where I'm trying to figure out where that could arise as a situation. And I'm not, unlike them, I think that's, you know, I just think that approach is just, you know, too fraught with issues. However, if in fact this is a put up, that would be a different story. I'm not saying, by the way, that that's the way to still approach it. I'm not convinced that that is the way to approach it. I think we look at the law and we look at the facts and we deal with the law and the facts as they develop. And that's how you win this. And we're going to win this. I'm not concerned about it. At the end of the day, which side wins, we win. And by the way, Nancy Pelosi knows that. That's why she's been so reluctant and will continue to be reluctant, in my view. That's exactly how I view it. How do you see it, Harry?
Well, I think you're right. But I also think the Dems are very, very persistent, and we should not underestimate their persistence. Essentially, the Democrats are treating the American people as res iudicata, meaning that the people do not rule, but the elites rule, particularly over citizens who live in flyover country. And so in some respects, the Democrats are attempting to pull a very fast one over the eyes of the American people. Complicit in all of this, of course, are the American media.
Dave is calling from California. Dave, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, yeah, I was calling, but I had a similar question as the previous caller. I think we're all kind of frustrated. I mean, we see that it's very clear that there was criminal activity going on in the other party. I don't think we can provide more evidence, and there's just more and more evidence coming out. But I think what we're frustrated about is that we have this information, and we've had similar evidence from the prior 2 years, and there hasn't been a lot of action on our side that we have been able to see. And I think we see that, and it concerns us. But also, kind of following on to that, what I see is that we're primarily, I'd say the messaging on the media, and this could be incorrect, but it seems like we're really focusing on Biden. But I think the true underlying issue with this is that it's a threat to our overall democracy.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you're not hearing a lot of Biden talk from me because I'm looking at not that that's not significant, but I'm looking at the Constitution, and I think, as Harry said, it's criminalizing the execution of the U.S. Constitution is what's really at stake here. Now, Fan, politically it's interesting. How does this play out for Joe Biden with the Democrats running against him?
Not I think so he's well, very I suspect. Nervous, right?
Yeah,
I think he's very nervous. Look, I'd say two things very quickly to Dave. I agree that the congressional investigations weren't done very effectively. They very rarely are. I think he made the point, though, Jay, that the Department of Justice and the attorneys looking at this, Durham and the others, I think they're doing it the right way, Jay. It's not out in the public. It's a real investigation to get to the bottom of it. Sure, maybe we'd like to see what's going on, but, Jay, a real investigation, that's how it's done. All of the facts are gathered, and then you decide how to proceed, not the other way around.
All right, well, that does it for the broadcast today, and it has been a busy one. So I'm going to go on with Sean on his radio broadcast this afternoon, and then this evening I'll be on with Sean on Hannity. Let me say this to Professor Hutchinson. Great job on getting that information. Harry's going to have an article up probably in the next couple of hours or so. We are going to distribute it very, very broadly on all of our social media platforms. I'm going to reference it tonight on radio. I'll reference it on Sean's radio and also tonight on TV. I think it's that important. I think criminalizing the execution of the U.S. Constitution is a big deal for the Republic. Whatever party you're with, look what that means for the Republic. We'll have more on this tomorrow, you can bet. No question about that. Don't forget Jordan's book, The Next Red Wave, available in bookstores everywhere. Support the work of the ACLJ. You do that at ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become